But you don't.
I want to hear Pagal.
Okay, folks, we'll kick off. Is everybody muted? Are you muted now? Is it Ian? Okay. Okay, folks, we'll kick off. So, GD Vicarja, I was Falsh Rowe. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. And a very special welcome to Michael Rice, our new councillor, joining us in the Mourns DEA. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are switched, turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting tonight. If you have any such interest, please either indicate it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on delegate microphone if you're physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure that their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. Following the presentation of an officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer and a seconder, and this should be done using the instant messaging feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. Two members asked to propose, the first member having indicated through the instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and the seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messenger feature so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. So folks, with the new year upon us, it's often a time that we reflect on the year past and the year of 2021, a year that we will always remember with heavy hearts, as all of us lost members of our community, family members and dear, dear loved ones. 2022 offers us a new year of hope and opportunities and the chance, of course, to build back bigger, better and stronger. So it's important that we all give each other that helping hand to do so. So for the mental health topic for January, I'd like to focus on the potential pressures of New Year's resolutions that can feel like a pressure to fundamentally change who you are as a person. And often these pressures can lead to negative self-reflection and lead to questioning the direction of your life, which of course can have a knock-on effect of a person's mental health and well-being. New Year's resolutions involves reflection on the previous year and can trigger thoughts that are damaging to one's mental health. People struggling with depression, self-esteem issues or troubling life events. This pressure and potential perceived faults could lead to mental health sparring. So I would ask everyone to focus on their own lives, their own mental health and well-being. Set realistic, achievable goals that is valuable to you, who you are, rather than social expectations. You do not need to choose New Year resolutions just to field the query questioned by social peers. So if you are experiencing increased feelings of pressure, anxiety, slow down, take time out and refocus on doing something that makes you feel good. We are all on our own journey and must help and support each other along the way. So I'd like to take the opportunity to the Trinity, just to wish all of my fellow councillors, council officials, and all of the people of Newry, Mourne and Down health, peace and happiness in the year ahead. So, folks, we'll move on. Any apologies? No.
Yes, sure. I have an apology from Karen McKevitt.
Okay, thanks, Declan.
Thank you.
And Councillor Gallagher, I think, sorry, Chair, it's Councillor Devon here, and Councillor Gallagher.
Okay. Okay, so we'll move on to item number two, which is declarations of interest.
None, Chair.
None. Okay, so we'll move on to item number three, which is the action sheet arising from the Council meeting held on the 8th of December 2021. We'll go through page by page, so page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Hannan. And seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? No. Councillor Riley?
Yeah, it was just on the electric charging points. The Westminster government has made it obligatory for councils in England to, for their building control departments to start installing individual car chargers. And I was just wondering, has there been anything that got done over here? Maybe if building control could let me know, I'd be very grateful.
Councillor Riley, okay, we'll get somebody to come back to you on that.
Yeah, Madam Chair, there was just one other issue there as well about the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You know the way we had the Down High School in, because there is a group called Forest Schools Awards. It's run by a guy, Brian Putz, and Mid-Ulster, Fermanagh and Tyrone and Castlereagh Council are already members of it. But if we could even ask Putz to give a presentation to one of our committees, I think it would be very interesting because it does help schools to become more aware of their environment and get involved in tree planting and that type of thing.
Okay, no problem. Henry will pick that up as well. Thank you.
Okay.
Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, it was just funny what I heard. I remember raising that actually with the Environmental Department at a time on behalf of Brian. And I think the response back to myself was that that their aims of his organisation have already been achieved, but certainly if there's no objection to another attempt at this, certainly, you know, but just for information's sake.
Okay, thank you. Really. Okay, we'll move on to item number four, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 6th of December. We will go through it for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, on page 5, can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Any matters arising? Okay, we'll move on to item number 5, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 8th of December. And again, we'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, and page 14. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Burgess. And seconded by Councillor Andrews. Councillor Mulgrew, you've matters rising.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. I'm doing walkabouts here in the house trying to get decent signal. Again, I just want to raise an issue. It has been raised before previously regarding a special meeting with the Southern Trust regarding the future of Daisy Hill and the expansion of services. Now, that original meeting with the Trust was held almost 3 months ago, and we did ask that that would come into us, you know, as a matter of priority. There is a little bit of confusion out there as to what is happening with Daisy Hill, and I think, you know, at this stage we should have had a date. So can I please ask, has a date yet been given to us, and when that date is? And if not, we need to go back to the Trust and say, come on, you know, we need to be working on this together.
Sure. We will follow that up with the Trust. I don't think we have a date as yet, but we will follow it up.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor McGree. So we'll move on to item number 6, which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 13th of December 2021. And we'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, and page 15. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Kern. On matters arising, Councillor Gibbons?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Can you hear me okay, Chair? I've got these new fancy earbuds in. I don't know if they're working or not. Can you hear me okay? Yes?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Thank you, thank you. Just item number 245, Warm Point Pontoon, Chair. It was agreed to approve the appointment of a supplier to repair the pontoon at Warm Point Breakwater. And the point I'm interested in is, and they undertake the dredging of the pontoon pocket area by Warm Point Harbour Authority. There's been the abundance of wildlife spotted within that area in recent years, Chair. You know, seals and otters, just to name but a few. And what I'm asking tonight just is, could we find out what environmental impact assessment was carried out to do this work in such a sensitive part, of the Loch, Chair? So if anybody could give me an answer on that one, Chair, thank you.
Connor, are you able to come in on that?
Yes, Chair. I'm happy to make contact with Councillor Gibbons and provide him with the information he's requested.
Thank you. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's on item 244 around the Small Settlement Regeneration Programme. I'm not on ERT, but whenever I went and looked at the report the officer submitted, I was concerned around the emphasis of settlements being titled between 1,000 and 4999. And although it does say that there's no firm rule that such settlements below 1,000 won't be excluded from it, it does state, you know, very much so that it needs to demonstrate value for money. So I'm just seeking reassurance from officers that the likes of Strangford Village, which has a population of around 500, who has a massive tourist aspect, that is taken consideration. And then another example locally in my area is Clough. You know, it's around 840 population. Again, there's a massive tourist element to that. So I know this is a pile of money from DSC, DERA and DFI, but I think the officers really need to have a wider view of how these smaller settlements of below 1,000 can really benefit from any regeneration into the areas.
Connor, do you want to pick that up?
Yes, we are currently considering all settlements, whether they're below the 1,000 or not. So settlements such as you've mentioned will be considered within our development of the schemes and the proposals going forward.
And Chair, can I just come follow up with Connor? What is the timescale for them schemes? So you're saying we're currently working through that. What is the timescale? Does money need spent by the end of this financial year or next financial year?
It's next financial year, Councillor.
All right, Cheers. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Connor.
Okay. Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's just one item. It was number 237. It's due to the park and share at the Ban Road in Castlewellan. Really, it's just merely a comment, Chair, just to welcome the progress. I suppose I'll just also point out that this was a long-standing project of my predecessor, Eamon O'Neill, one which he raised many times over the years. I suppose then furthermore in his role as chairman of Castlewellan Regeneration Limited. I actually recall working for Eamon, and I think at that time John McGrillan was the chief executive of the old Legacy Down District Council, so we are going back a few years. So it is absolutely brilliant to see this project at long last progressing despite the increase in costs. I suppose just a thanks to the officers for all of their efforts on this, which will make a real difference to the town of Castlewellan and the local business community. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. Just wanted to ask Connor on the villages scheme. Anna Long has already qualified for a small environmental scheme around the harbour area. I was wondering, could we look into try and maybe magnify that a bit with the additional funding? And Connor, there's a serious number of people in Anna Long would like to know what's happening with the harbour, including councillors. And would it be possible to get a site meeting down there, please, with the contractors and our mooring councillors, just to try and get a proper update and handle on what's actually happening? Thank you.
Connor, are you happy enough to pick that up with Councillor Riley?
Yes, that's fine. I'm happy enough to pick that up.
Thank you. Okay, that's all the matters arising. I think we'll move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 16th of December 2021. We'll through page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Okay, Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Just a small point. The minutes make reference to a motion I proposed, and it makes reference to an amendment and to the indicative targets, but the minutes don't include the actual motion itself, and it's normal for the motion to be shown in the minutes. So could I request a motion be put into the minutes before they're adopted?
Chair, the motion within the minutes, and I wasn't at the meeting, and Drina can come in as well, was the motion that was actually presented as amended. So that is the motion that is contained within the minutes then.
That's the amendment to the motion, it's not the motion itself.
But the motion that was agreed was the amended motion.
No, we agreed to add that bit onto the motion. If you read the minutes, it talks about the indicative targets above, and the indicative targets above were actually included in the motion.
We'll look at that, Chair, and make any necessary amendments then. We'll look at it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so Councillor O'Murray and Councillor McGuinness, you're happy to propose and second that? Any matters arising? Councillor Bryan?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I know I sit in that committee, but I was unable to make that one in December, so just had a quick question around the complementary fund on page 8 there. Obviously, like many councillors, very much welcome the funding that's been allocated for the Albert Basin Park project. Absolutely delighted with that. Great news to get before Christmas. I just wanted to ask for an update around the three other projects that were applied for through the complementary fund. That included, from looking back on that application, $10 million for active travel, $3 million for Kilkeel and Hourglass Harbour developments, and $7 million for a joint project with Larne and Warren Point ports. Were those, the report in December does reference that four applications were submitted, but no update on those three other projects, just the Albert Basin Park one. So were those applications rejected, or are we still waiting for an outcome on those? If they were rejected, have we got feedback from the Department of Finance as to why they were rejected? If someone could come back to me on that, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. I can just confirm that they are not being considered by the department in this round. However, we will look at when the second round of complementary funding comes out. We haven't as yet asked for feedback on those, but we will be obviously seeking feedback on all applications.
Okay. Councillor Devlin?
Yep, thank you, Chair. It relates to item number 11 that was on the agenda for the committee. I think it was regarding Castle and Forest Park. So I don't know the actual number that's for the actual council. Minutes, just merely a comment, Chair. I suppose it's great to see that staff structure down on paper. And for those of us that are involved in the process of the park from day one, as each month now passes, we see the work on site. The project really is gathering so much legs. And I can't wait to see the coming months out in terms of the park itself and the exciting opportunity it is for our council. So thank you, Chair.
Okay, so we move on to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee, meeting held on the 20th of December 2021. So we'll go through page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, and page 10. I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy. Proposed by Councillor McAvoy and seconded by Councillor Casey. And matters arising, Councillor Murray.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. At the AHC meeting, I had brought up through the DEA forum the issue of the James Reid Play Park in Silverbridge. And I've been talking with Michael Lipset a good bit about this before Christmas and over Christmas, just to see if there any way the council could be involved in the deliverance of this park. Now, I suppose uniquely, not like most other play parks, whenever a councillor is looking at a play park in an area, they're looking an investment of 100,000 or something. This community group are raising their own funds, their own capital. They're going to build their own park. They're going to get public liability insurance from the football club beside it. They're all set to go, and my request to Michael Lipset would be that this play park, when built, would be incorporated under the play strategy, and for no other reason that there would be some level of maintenance of boat checks and that going forward forever and a day after that, that it would be very little cost to the council and would be an extra park for the play strategy. So I don't know if Michael's on the call. Michael had said at AHC that obviously he was going to liaise with neighbourhood services and that, and that he was going to maybe have an answer for tonight, but it was just to check on the progress that I can get back to the group.
Michael, are you happy to come in on that?
Yes, thank you, Chair. We are currently liaising with neighbourhood services on the potential for maintenance in the future. We're also reaching out to the club again to try and understand exactly what maintenance requirements they have. I understand from our conversations that the daily maintenance and cleaning and tidying and so on would be covered by the group, and this is more about inspections of like an annual inspection through RoSPA and so on, and maybe monthly inspections. So we're having a look at that. We're talking to the group about that, and I would hope to have a report to AHC this month, wouldn't it?
Okay, thank you. Okay, Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. There's actually two points that I wanted to raise from AHC. The first one was regarding the extension to Donard Park car park. Obviously, you know, I very much welcome all the progress that we've made in the scheme to date. I mean, it's something we've all been working very hard on, but I note that the application doesn't appear to be on the planning agenda for this week, and I suppose I'm concerned if that will impact on the project. Yeah, I know that very constant need to have the construction work sort of done and completed and wrapped up sort of pre-Easter and the busier season. So maybe just a question, maybe for Michael there, do we envisage that happening soon? Or will that impact on the actual project itself?
Chair, for you, yeah, we were hoping it would be on this month. I know there was further surveys that were requested through the planning department, and we're working through that. So we still aim to have this ready for Easter. We're very well aware that Easter is big pressure point on car parking in Newcastle. So we're still aiming to do that. We're hoping to get it to the next planning committee. We're working as hard as we can on it, and we do understand the pressure. It needs to be done by Easter.
Thank you so much, Michael. Chair, there's just one other point that I want to raise, if that's possible, regarding another item on the papers for AHPC.
Yep, far away.
Yeah, it's just regarding the Rock Pool update. I think, as we know, Chair, this is an issue which is very close to my heart, and I believe very strongly in this. I'm delighted with the committee's decision and to see the project taking that next much-needed step. I suppose to say again, stress the importance of any such discussions, you know, not dragging on for months on end. And I know that's probably outside council's control in one respect, because you're liaising with sort of statutory consultees, but just every month that that's delayed, it also increases the chances of part of Newcastle's history being washed away into the sea. So I know that the officers have been brilliant in terms of trying to move things forward, and particularly Paul has been fantastic at coming back and keeping us posted. But if we can just make sure that those discussions are sort of expedited as quickly as they can be, and that the pressure is kept on the agencies to come back, just because there is that fear within Newcastle about just this treasured building that we do have there, that some further damage from the sea could impact upon that. But thanks to the officers. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And it's the e-car charge points 248 item. I haven't heard back from Owen around the Glock car park, and I accept it was Christmas, so maybe at AHPC this month he could bring the information back. And could I ask the officers for an update at that meeting as well of the feedback from NIE around the 17 charge point locations, and if the application is ready to be submitted. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Michael, are you happy enough that comes back?
Yep, quite happy to do that, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Clark?
Thanks very much, Sharon. Councillor Devlin touched on the 2 points I'm going to make, the restricted items, Donard Park, overflow car park, and also the Rockpool. The Donard Park, I agree with Councillor Devlin, there's an urgency to get this constructed, this car park constructed as soon as possible. The delays in it, I just think council should have had in place, the issues, the pre-consultation and stuff like that. We should have had that ready to go. I'm slightly alarmed that we weren't in a position to get it approved when it was at the planning committee. I understand that it is, there is issues in regards to TPOs and stuff like that in the park. But as Councillor Davin says, it's essential we get it ready for the tourism season, but also for locals as well, because there's a huge increase in the number of people using Donard Park to access the Mourns all year round. This isn't just during the summer, so I think it's essential that this is approved as quickly as possible. I appreciate the business case being approved, but the delays in planning isn't helpful either. Second point in regards to, and Michael's already answered Laura, so I appreciate that. But the Rockpool also, it's been a number of years shut now. So there is a alarm again in the community in regards to it's taken that long to get to this stage as well. I appreciate we'll have to discuss with the relevant statutory agencies in regards to the listed structure. But we do need a time frame in regards to how long this is going to take, because this could drag out for months and years, so we certainly need some sort of definitive time frame moving forward. This is I think it's a unique and authentic attraction for the area, but it's also really precious to the local community and the historical nature of the structure as well, built in 1933. I think it's a major asset for the community, given the increase in cold water swimming, and to train people in cold water swimming in a safe environment, I think is essential moving forward. So it's not just about, the tourism aspect, it's the local community also. So I would like to see some sort of time frame built into that.
Thanks, Willie. Michael, are you happy enough to take that on board?
Yes, Chair. We would hope to have made some progress on that by the February AHC committee, so I would hope to have a report there setting out a timeline, or an anticipated timeline at least. Part of the problem, as has already been mentioned by the councillor, is it can be very difficult to get these statutory agencies to come out to the site meetings and so on that we require, but we will hopefully have dates by the February AHC meeting.
Okay. Councillor Hannah?
Thanks, Chair. Just on the rock pull as well, that's what I was looking to speak about. I know we're both Laura and Molly there, they pretty much are not very happy with some of the things I've done in the past about the rock pull in Newcastle. But I'm directing this at Michael. Do you not think, Michael, you need to be open and transparent with the Newcastle community of the serious task that is facing the rock pull in Newcastle? It is a massive job, so it is. And I did mention monies before, and I believe I'm right in everything I have said. On that, have you reached out to try to engage with anybody in Newcastle yet? There is groups like the Friends of the Rock Pull and maybe the YMCA and that there. Have you reached out to any of them there to see if they want any involvement at all? Or is it just going to be left as a millstone around the neck of the council again? Could you answer me that, Michael, please?
If you're happy, Chair, yeah. Yes, we have spoken to both those groups and we speak to other groups in the area as well. And that will continue. We have spoken to them about future management arrangements. And it's quite difficult at the minute, obviously, to get any kind of agreement because we need to understand the extent of the works that are required, the amount of money that council and maybe other key funders can put into that project, and whether or not a group needs to spearhead it or whether it should be led by the council. But we are and will continue to talk to the groups that you've mentioned.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Riley?
Thanks, Madam Chair. It's just on what Barra said there about play park inspections. Could you advise me, Michael, are there daily inspections done? It's just that I've had parents on to me about the Moore and Esplanade play park complaining about quantities of glass. There's young ones drinking down there, and they don't just leave the bottles sitting. They actually smash them for some reason. And it is very dangerous, even for dogs and walking there and children. And what it's also been pointed out, the renovations that we're doing to the bowling pavilion, would it be possible to put a camera on there focused on the play park to try and stop that antisocial behaviour? And just on the the bowling pavilion, Michael, would it be possible for you or some of your colleagues to talk to the ladies and men's teams captains just to make sure, because apparently they weren't consulted about what's happening there. And it would, if there was any fine tuning at all that could be done to accommodate them, I think it would be very worthwhile at this stage. Thanks, Michael, or Madam Chair.
Thanks, Henry. Just, I'm going to ask if Michael can maybe pick that up with you offline, just because it's a specific issue. It's not actually written to the agenda item, if you don't mind. Michael, are you happy enough? Okay. I think that's all the matters rising on item number 8, so we'll move on to item number 9, which is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on the 21st of December 2021. Page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor McKay. Matters arising, Henry, you have a question?
Yes, it was on the purchase of new refuse vehicles. Could get an update on where that is. The service that we got in Mourne over the Christmas New Year period was just an abomination. It was, all the councillors, I'm sure, were getting so much stick and abuse from people with really full bins after the Christmas period. And I would definitely have to get to a position where that just doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't happen in any other councils in Northern Ireland, so why should it happen to us? And Mourne in particular being so let down this year, it really was an embarrassment. Can we get an explanation of what happened and an assurance that it won't happen again? If we need these new lorries, get them on the road as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Henry. Johnny, are you happy to come in?
Yes, Chair, thanks very much. Chair, in terms of the purchase of the new refuse collection vehicles, we have issued a lot for up to 30 new vehicles, and that's subject to a mini competition at the moment. That will close in the next 4 weeks, whereupon we will be in a position to evaluate the responses. So all being well and with a fair wind, we'll be able to make an order by probably early March. What I advised the committee in December is that, unfortunately, delivery times are something that we can't control. And given market forces, we're looking at an anticipated delivery timetable of about 12 months. So there will be a period of time until we get new vehicles on stream. In terms of the issues around the Mournes, yes, I was aware of that. Unfortunately, due to breakdowns with larger vehicles, we had to send in smaller ones and they didn't have the capacity. But my understanding is that all that work was caught up very quickly. And again, happy to speak to Councillor Riley outside the meeting if he has any further concerns.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Councillor Mackett here.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, it was just on page 3 where they talked about the maintenance of Newry Canal from Ferns Lough. But reading on down into the into what was agreed, we talked about the liaison with the ERT director, officers, I should say, in partnership with Banbridge Craigavon regarding the future development of Newry Canal. Could I maybe ask just, is this maybe the moment in time where we really go for a major expansion in this? There is £20 million funding there for the blue-green sustainable infrastructure projects. And so we formerly had a working group between the two old councils. So, you know, I'm just looking to the future or to the short-term future. And, you know, is there, a case for setting up on the back of this liaison a working group with the ABC Council? And can I also ask then, is there potential here to bring in Waterways Ireland in this, linking up with Lough Neagh, et cetera, because this could be a major opportunity here to do what a lot of people have been looking to do on Newry Canal for many, many years, and that is, you know, open it right up to Scarborough and right on down into Lough Neagh.
Connor, is that something you can pick up with?
A bit of Connor and a bit of Johnny as well.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to take on board Councillor McAteer's comments. We are working actively to align diaries with ABC to have a meeting, and we hope to have a date for that meeting this week. And again, well, there's issues that we're more than happy to discuss with them whenever that meeting happens. And again, we'll be tying in with Neighbourhood Services with respect to the maintenance requirements as well, and they'll be invited to the meeting also.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Chair, thanks. NS193, the cleaning and sweeper vehicle replacements. Chair, whenever I looked through the business case in the appendix and then the minutes for it, it's not particularly clear exactly where the 16 new medium-sized chassis cab vehicles and the 9 cleansing sweeping vehicle replacements are actually going to be. From my knowledge and my understanding, being in the council for nearly 10 years now, there is an imbalance of where vehicles are within our district. And obviously, if we're replacing vehicles, we're replacing where the imbalance is. Is there a plan to fix that imbalance and have more mechanical cleansing sweepers in the old downside? And how are we going to address that? So if Johnny could just explain, or maybe it takes outside of this meeting, where those 16 chassis cab vehicles are going and where the 9 sweepers are going, it might help alleviate my concern that the old downside's not getting its fair share.
Johnny, are you okay to pick that up with Councillor Sharvin?
Yeah, Chair, if you're happy, I can do the right side of the meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Mulgrew?
Thank you, Chair. Just whenever the meeting's on and I have Johnny there, could I just ask him, I want to raise something with him. Johnny, I'm aware that a couple of our recycling plant centres had to close early. Now, my understanding of it was that it was staffing either from ourselves or from the hauliers that removed the skips. I'm not entirely sure. And that perhaps it was COVID-based or COVID, you know, isolation restrictions or whatever. Bearing in mind that it's the one complaint that we get is rubbish and recycling on our bins. Could I just get an assurance from yourself that we are doing absolutely everything possible? And if it is a case that we need to look at, you know, getting additional agency staff, whatever it is, we need to keep, you know, our streets clean and our recycling plants open, especially at this time of year, post-Christmas, when there was such high demand on them. So it's just to raise that with you, Johnny, and to make sure, looking an assurance that we're doing everything to protect the staffing levels in your particular directive. Thank you.
Johnny, are you happy enough to pick that up with Councillor McGree?
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item number 10, which is the planning section, and it's just one page. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor McAteer.
Yeah.
And seconded by Councillor O'Hare. Matters arising, Councillor Mulgrew.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. There's just a situation that I have started to encounter more and more regarding planning applications when people ask us to chase them up. I'm very aware that, you know, our overall approval rate for planning applications is very good, and I know the level of work that goes into the planning department, both by officers and councillors alike. However, more and more I'm getting, you know, when I'm talking to planners that the hold up is that the consultees are not coming back within the time frame, the specified time frame, and that is holding up any decisions that can be made. So could I ask two things? Could I ask that we maybe look and see what percentage of consultees come back within the recommended time frame, and the percentage that do not? And could we then actually look to see about moving that forward if it is in fact a problem? Maybe I have just been unlucky with those that I have, the applications I've been dealing with. But if this is a common thread within the planning office, that we write to the minister and ask that all the statutory consultees live up to what is expected of them. I know we've done a huge amount to try and improve planning within the district, but very often it is outside of our control and it reflects badly on us when it is not our fault. So could I ask for those two pieces of, you know, that piece of information regarding the statistics, and also that we potentially write to the Minister and ask that those issues are addressed. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor McGree. Connor, are you happy enough to take that?
Yes, that's okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, Chair, thanks for letting me in there. Yep, similar to Councillor Mulgrew, I've been encountering the same problems. Certain departments in particular seem to be causing the problem. And it's deeply frustrating, particularly whenever, you know, as an example, for instance, I was speaking to planners today. I had a planning application where it's a rural application. There's funding relevant to that application, and I've been waiting on one agency to come back for weeks. The other agencies that were required to respond responded within the 3-week period, but this has been sitting for months waiting on response. And I would be happy, I was going to suggest the same as Councillor Mulgrew, that we write to the respective minister. Obviously, there needs to be some research done on that. I hope, you know, obviously, it seems to be others are encountering this problem as well. So I think it's important that we, as elected representatives, get to the bottom of it and get it, you know, sorted as soon as possible, given the impact that it is having on applications. So I'm happy to second Councillor Mulgrew's proposal that if indeed the problem is established, that the respective minister of that department is corresponded with and asked to obviously deal with it as a matter of urgency.
Thanks, David. Marie, do you want to come in?
Yeah, Chair, just to advise members that we have discussed this matter at Solus, and we have actually arranged a meeting with the Permanent Secretary to discuss planning, because we see planning as one of the key economic enablers for Northern Ireland. So we have a meeting towards the end of this month to actually discuss the challenges that are being faced, not just in our council, but right across the board.
Thanks, Marie. Councillor Maggot here, if it's just a comment, can I ask you to keep it brief? It's not an actual matter arising.
Yeah, I will indeed. It'll probably take me long to explain, keeping brief, than I will in the next real thing. Yeah, before we start, well, we can certainly write to ministers, etc., but I think maybe it would also be pertinent to look at our own house as well. I had a case there recently where the consultation from in-house and council was some 4 to 5 months. Again, I may have been one office, as Councillor McGrew had said, and some of the other ones, but again, you know, we need to look at our own stall as well, and just when we are doing the survey, you know, put that in the report coming back if there is one.
Thanks, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chair. Similar issue is Councillor McGrew and Councillor Taylor, and obviously Councillor McAteer as well. I think it's essential that consultees are coming back in a timely fashion. It's always been a problem in plan when, you know, different statutory bodies sit on planning applications. For what reason? Surely I understand that COVID had an impact, but this was going on long before COVID. And we went to Fife, you know, to look at their planning structures. It was something that was raised at their meetings, that the Scottish model, you know, they had a time frame for consultees to come back. If they didn't come back within that time frame, it's my understanding within the legislation, within the planning legislation, that we can look at, you know, putting time frames in regards for consultees to come back. If they don't come back with the information, then the planning application proceeds. So I think it is timely that Solus looks at it, but also the minister also looks at it, because we've a rough idea what the statutory bodies who are slow in coming back. And it does look bad in the council. If somebody's got a major application in that's going to have an economic boost for the area, that, you know, that we can't be seen that we're dragging our feet, because developers and business people will move elsewhere, will move to another council area. So I think it's essential that we get this right, and that our officers aren't blamed, also as councillors were not blamed. So I totally support the proposal.
Thank you, Willie. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 11 and 12, which are both Housing Council minutes dated the 11th of November 2021 and the Housing Council bulletin from December 2021. Both items were for noting. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for noting, please? Proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Andrews. And matters arising, Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Can indeed, yep.
Yeah. Yes, Chair. Just really in relation to the issues raised in items 11 and 12, are very much in tune with what were highlighted at a very successful Housing Needs Conference recently at Newcastle. It's just really by way of seeking an update from Connor in relation to what sort of follow-up work is planned to take place or is taking place to build on the work that was done that day, and are we planning to publish a more updated version of the Housing Needs Report to reflect that, what was discussed and what the challenges are going forward, you know, given the fact that we do have a severe housing crisis and housing needs crisis in our district, and sort of what level of continuing plan or planned stakeholder engagement are we looking at going forward. For example, you know, some of the issues that were raised in the breakout workshops that we had, is there an opportunity to build on some of those? I know that we'd looked at the possibility, it was raised at the time, of maybe NURI putting itself forward to the Department of Communities and to the Minister to see if we could attract some form of funding for pilot schemes, for example, for above the shop living, etc. And also looking at what was raised by one of the contributors at the conference in relation to vacant site identification for housing. As you know, Chair, this is an issue very close to my heart, and I'm sure to the rest of the councillors, that we build on this. We've done a lot of very good work in the last 2.5 to 3 years, and it's very important that we take it forward. I know we had COVID in the midst of the 2 year period between the last two housing conferences, but I think we all agree that the great work that's been done there, we could build upon the level of cooperation that's taken place between council and all the departmental stakeholders involved in housing and housing need and everything that stems from it. So Chair, just really to see what the opportunities are and can we build on that and continue to have the great levels of engagement we had on the day, but in more sort of potentially ongoing format. Thanks, Chair. Maybe Conor can give me an update. That would be great. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Savage. Conor, do you want to come in?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's our intention, Councillor Savage, to work with Housing Executive and bring a report following the conference held late last year and bring that back to ERT in the coming months.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Conor. Councillor Riley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, just absolutely agree with everything that Michael said there. I know in the Mourns, Kingdom of Mourne area, I'm not too familiar with what's happening in Newcastle, but I'm along Kilkee. There's just absolutely nothing to rent now. And the number of young people come to me saying, look, we can't afford a mortgage, but we need somewhere to live. It's very, very disheartening for young couples. And I was going to ask, Chairman, there does seem to be quite a lot of empty properties, like commercial properties in Mourne that maybe could be converted if they got a bit of a grant or something, but we definitely need to do something to try and help young couples out in particular. Not just young couples, even people there now. This Airbnb, whatever you call it, there's a lot of people now asking long-term renters to leave their property so in rural areas and the towns so as they can get a greater income from Airbnb. And that's having a big effect. And we do need to really do something to try and help especially young couples out and people who are being asked to leave their long-term accommodation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Riley. We'll take those comments on board. Councillor Clark, you have a question on item number 11?
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. And it's a similar vein that Councillor Riley says, that there's a huge shortage of accommodation, even in the private sector in Newcastle, for young couples and that to get accommodation, to get the basic necessity of a home. And as Councillor Reddy says, we're contacted every day in regards to people in dire straits, in regards to nowhere to live, people living in cars, people sofa surfing. These are the hidden people who, you know, aren't on the streets, but they're still homeless, and only for, you know, the kindness of neighbours or whatever, or family, they would be on the streets, you know. So there's a huge shortage of temporary accommodation even. And that's what Councillor Ray says about the Airbnb. You know, the majority of the temporary accommodation is now not there. So people have nowhere to live. We look at the semi community in Dunpatrick. It's to capacity. So where are these people meant to live, even on a short-term basis, never mind a long-term basis? So I think if Councillor Riley would like to second it, that we should write to the Minister also as a sort of review in regards to the impact that Airbnbs are having on local accommodation, and will there be measures then rolled out in regards to mitigate these huge impacts? Because it is chronic. It is really, really chronic. You have a situation, even if people are lucky to get a private accommodation in Newcastle, that there's like 2-bedroom units for £700 per month. And you look at somebody on the minimum wage, you know, barely making £1,000. How are these people meant to live? So I think, yes, the long-term build is important, but the temporary accommodation is also important. And I think the housing executive should be looking at opportunities where there is accommodation that people can live in. But I'd like to propose that we do write to the Minister in regards to what is the impact of Airbnbs to local accommodation.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Clark. And Councillor Riley, you've indicated you're happy to second that, yeah?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to items number 13 and 14, which are correspondence. And they're for Noton, one's from correspondence from the Minister of Health and the other for the from the Minister of Infrastructure. Can I get a proposer and a seconder to note? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor McAteer.
Just Chair, and noting that it is interesting the response.
Councillor McAteer, Councillor Finnegan is just looking in. Councillor Finnegan.
Yeah, thanks. Look, I want to thank the Minister for the response, but I do want to stress the importance that those that have been missed, that this extension needs to be prioritised. And by the looks of the response, absolutely nothing has changed. So, and given the, you know, we needed a speedy decision, it needs to be given straight away, given the timely response of the letter. Right? It took ages for them to write, for the Minister to write back, and for the decision to be absolutely no different, or it's just being discussed. I think Newry Morrendown District Council need to write back to the Minister and stress the importance that these people, women who have had their babies during the COVID-19 period, they're being missed out, and I want to stress the importance and that decision should be made ASAP. Thanks.
So, Councillor Finnegan, you're making a proposal that we write back again. Can somebody second Councillor Finnegan's proposal? Councillor Hanlon is happy to second that. Thanks, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor McMurray, you're looking in item number 14.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and Happy New Year to you, and also a welcome to your colleague, Councillor Rice. No, Chair, I was just responding to the Minister of Infrastructure there, item number 14. So we're glad to see there'll be further schools included in the 20-mile-per-hour scheme to further schools and a further commitment to traffic calming infrastructure. However, I'm slightly disappointed that the way they acknowledge speed is the problem, they will not be consulting more widely on how we can reduce vehicle speeds through speed limits. That said, I'm glad this council will be considered for such a scheme. Should the department and minister get up to speed with their Scottish and Welsh counterparts? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor McMurray. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, and you know what, I was just on that, and it was just worth noting in the response that the evidence is that I concluded that the 20 mile an hour speed limit without any traffic calming measures had little or no impact on the speed of traffic, you know. So I suppose there's a message there in you know, in large scale or medium scale housing developments to make sure that those sort of traffic calming measures are included, and then you can possibly follow on if necessary with the 20 mile an hour sign, you know. So it's something just that we should be noted for going forward in terms of planning.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McAteer. Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Yeah, I just noticed today on the same subject, driving through Anna Hill, and there's a 20 mile speed limit sign outside a school. But those speed limit signs should be flashing whenever they're in operation, so therefore you slow down from 30 to 20. But as the next sign to come along was the solar based one for like traffic calming, and it was flashing red at when I was doing 28 because actually a 30 mile speed limit. So I'm not sure what was going on there, because I know these things were not compulsory, but why it was flashing at 28? I know it's a 20 mile speed limit area, but only whenever the amber lights are flashing. And this is the time of day there was no flashing lights. So I just wonder, maybe it's a question need to be asked from road service, why is it actually doing that? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McKee. Councillor Riley.
Thank you. Just on the roads issue there too, DFI, Madam Chair, I'm maybe stretching out a bit, but I'd be very, very grateful if the council would write to our local roads people regarding the head road in Kilkeel. It needs salted in the frosty weather, Madam Chair. And geographically, it's one of the highest roads anywhere in the country. And
just last week when we had a bit of salt, snow and ice, a special needs bus with several children on it held up for 2 hours, and only for local farmers, it would never have got out of there. And it's really high volumes of traffic use that road. Mourne is like an island community, and the head road is a part, a major road for us that services the whole of the Upper Mourne area. So I'd be very grateful, Chairman, if we could do that. Just to emphasise the importance of getting it onto the route. You know, we got Attie Call School on a number of years back, and that was good. And if we could now get the Head Road, Cardney Road even, onto it, it would be a major benefit for the whole community. Thank you.
Councillor Bentley, it's possibly something that you need to raise with DFI Roads directly, or maybe something that could be raised at the DA meeting directly with them. It's not really a council issue to write to them.
Yeah, I understand that.
The DA meeting?
Yeah, I understand that, but I would have given it significant more authority if the council had supported it. Could I propose that, Madam Chair, given that you've let me in on it? I know you're a real decent woman. Go ahead.
Look, Councillor Elliott, it's not a council issue. If it's something that we could maybe raise at the DA meeting, and have a representative or ask a representative from DFI Roads to come along to the DA meeting to speak to them directly on it. I think if you have a collective meeting with the DA councillors, it should carry the same weight.
Well, that's fair enough, Madam Chair.
Okay, Councillor Murray.
Yeah, I wasn't really intending coming in on this here. It's talked about loads this year anyway, this 20-mile-per-hour zone outside of schools and in different parts and that. I think it's a fantastic initiative. I've spoken on it, backed it as much as I can. It really is. Anything that slows down traffic outside schools and built-up areas is to be applauded. I suppose I was resisting the temptation to come in on this here. I was thinking before the meeting, if I come in and start talking about schools or particular areas, every councillor is going to come in and talk about that. I think that I'd be happy to make a proposal that if we let the DEAs sort it out, see if we went to the Sleep Gullion DEA forum and looked at all the schools that there are in our part of the district and what schools had speeding issues outside them. Not all schools are on a main road or that, but if we could gather them up and then collectively, if there's any consultation for the next round of schools to be included on it, we could do something like that there. That's something that I think might be beneficial. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Murray. Have you got a seconder for your proposal? Yeah. Councillor Hanlon. Okay, thank you. Councillor Finnegan?
No, Pastor Mark, me. I didn't mean to press the button. Sorry.
No worries. Okay, I think that's the correspondence. Item number 15 is the planning conference, March 2022. And if anybody wants to attend, if any councillors want to attend, they contact Democratic Services.
Just to let you know, there is a brochure that's been updated to the decision time
for
information.
Okay, and there is a brochure that's just been uploaded to decision time that has more information on it. So if everybody wants to take a look at it and make contact with Democratic Services. Okay, so item number 16 is notice of motion from Councillor Brown. This motion has been referred to SPNR Committee. Councillor Brown, if you want to read out your motion as it is and let us know who's seconding it, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. So motion reads as follows. This council laments the fact that it is one of just two local authorities across Northern Ireland not to offer live streams or video recordings of its full council meetings. It notes the detrimental impact this has on transparency and public engagement with council business. It will immediately begin the process of ensuring either live streams or pre-recorded videos of full council meetings and statutory committees are uploaded to the council website, whichever is simpler to implement and offers best value for ratepayers. And that's being seconded by Councillor McMurray.
Councillor McMurray, you're happy to second?
Yeah, happy to second, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that's us for the first meeting of 2022. Safe home to everyone in the chamber and enjoy the rest of your evening, everyone at home. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.